Okay, thank you. Good morning. It's wonderful to be here. As I was walking along to the church, I saw that there's a pub called the Royal Standard, isn't there? And I just felt the Spirit of God saying, actually, no, this is going to be the Royal Standard. This church is going to be the Royal Standard. And that's a really interesting noise. Can we shut that door? Would that be all right? Thank you. It's the living water that never ends. The Royal Standard. And David was telling me that this part of Kent, if you like, is one of the sort of poorest parts of London to live in, or the cheapest, the best value, shall we say. And so people move in here, and sometimes people move out, sometimes people stay. But the book of James says, listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? And I think that here in this place, in this corner of London, God is going to cause you to be rich, rich in the kingdom, and rich in faith. Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, church, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. I'm speaking this over you, by the way. See, darkness covers the earth and London, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. I'm prophesying this to your church. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Amen. May God bless you as this church. I can see it in my spirit. God is going to do a wonderful thing here in this place. It's lovely to be here with you in Belvedere, in Kent. I want to say it's really precious to be here. I'll tell you the reason why. It's because I was born in a house just 4.5 miles away from here, in Sidcup, in Kent. Do you know Sidcup? Do you know Burnt Oak Lane? Anybody know Burnt Oak? You know Burnt Oak Lane. I was born in Burnt Oak Lane, just 4.5 miles away. So it feels like coming home. I was here till I was 4. Then I moved to southwest London. This is southeast London. I moved to southwest London, Surrey, where I met David. And then I went to northwest London after training for theological college. So it's in the northwest. Another 30 years, I'll be in Essex, won't I? When I'm about 90, I'll be back here again. So I'm one of you. I'm from Kent. So it's like coming home. And to be here with David. Let me tell you something about David Hazeldean. Looking forward to this. So we were in church together, and something special happened during those days. And in fact, actually, there had been a word of prophecy that our youth group would grow from about, would treble in size, or double in size or something. It was about 30, and it grew to about 120 young people in those days, swept into the kingdom of God, and the Spirit of God was upon the church, a long time coming, and also upon the youth group. And the Lord did amazing things amongst us as young people. So it's wonderful to see David in ministry. And I grew up, I think, a little bit more with Stuart in the early days. Stuart Hazeldean, who you met, I think, was it? That famous film director who's just done The Shack. And I used to be cycling. I used to cycle home with Stuart from youth club. He had drop off at Hersham and I'll carry on. And he used to talk about going into films. And he used to talk about this calling, this passion, this vision that he had to go into films. And he used to talk to me about it. And in fact, Stuart Hazeldean was one of the people who prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit with Lee Harvey. Do you remember Lee Harvey? Yes, Stuart Hazeldean and Lee Harvey prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit in David Hazeldean's house. David and Stuart's house. There you are. There's a claim to fame. So Stuart has gone on to do wonderful things, and we are all so thrilled and so pleased to see that God is blessing him and the Shack. I don't know if you've heard the story. I'm sure Stuart told you the story. There are people weeping in cinemas particularly in America, just receiving something of God, you know. Hallelujah. So he's on track. But let me tell you about something about David. You see, David had an anointing and a call of God, which he was pursuing. A man of such passion for God and a real vision to see revival. He wants to see a move of God and a revival in this nation. He's been carrying that for a long time. And in fact, David conducted a mini revival in his school. He did an evangelistic campaign. Have you heard about this? I don't know if you heard about this. And, you know, I knew about this. And he led people to Christ. People came to the Lord. He's carried this burden and this vision for revival. So I want to say about David, this is what I want to say about him, is what you see is what you get. I've known him for a long time to be a man full of the Lord, full of vision, full of passion. If you go with him, you'll go on a good journey. I want to commend him to you because I've known him from time past, and he is who he says he is. And do you know what he said about you? Because he was talking to me about you. Shall I tell you? He's worried now. He said, they're good people here in Belvedere. He said, they have open hearts and open faces. They really want to go with the Lord. Isn't that good? Did you know that he said that about you? Well, you do now, don't you? You're good people with open hearts and open to the Lord. So shall we turn to the Word together? I want to share briefly with you on the Holy Spirit and how to receive blessings from God. And then I'm going to share my testimony with you. Because we're all called to be witnesses to the truth of who Jesus is, aren't we? And what he's done in our life. So I want to share a little bit of my story with you. And I hope that that will encourage you. But let's have a look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, I'm going to read it, make some good progress. We've got some time. That's wonderful to look at the Word, isn't it, together. This is Luke speaking in Acts. In my former book, Theophilus, Theophilus means lover of God. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry." Let's just miss the blood and guts bit out. Verse 26, we said, "Peter has written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it. May another take his place of leadership.' Therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. And they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Hallelujah. Amen. Thanks be to God. I could just read the whole book of Acts and you'd be blessed, wouldn't you? So that's good. That's good. Father, as we turn to your word now, as we spend some time together and share together, thank you that we can share our hearts with one another. And Lord, thank you that we can indeed hear from heaven and hear from you. So I pray your blessing, Lord, upon all that gets said and shared today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shall I use the handheld, Mike? Is it? I'm used to handhelds because I can talk louder. Have you had a barbecue recently in this lovely weather we've been having? Anybody have a barbecue? A few of you. Have you heard about the new secret ingredient to barbecues, which is really catching on lately? Can I tell you that secret? People are really going for it. I don't know if you've seen people streaming into the shops to get this. They're spending ages getting it just right, making sure it's a part of their barbecue experience these days, flocking into the shops. And it's transforming barbecues up and down the nation. I mean, the aroma and smell of barbecues when you get it just right, it's awesome. I had a barbecue yesterday for my wife's birthday, and I used plenty of this new secret ingredient on the barbecue. I've got some with me. Can I show you what it is? Fire. Now you may be thinking that that's obvious. You may be thinking, I know that. Everyone knows that. You'd think I was crazy, wouldn't you, if I didn't include fire in my barbecue. I mean, just imagine it. If people were having barbecues and they're putting their red bit of meat on the oven, on the barbecue, whichever kind of barbecue you're having, you think, that's not a barbecue. That's raw meat. You'd think I was crazy, wouldn't you? But tragically, I think that's the reality of how we treat the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our churches. We often give lip service to the Holy Spirit, but the reality is very different. By our practical actions, we don't really believe that being filled with the Holy Spirit is necessary fully. We long for more fervency in prayer, for more reality in worship, for power in our evangelism. We want marriages restored, families reconciled, lives transformed, people healed and put back together again. We want the poor fed, the pastor paid, and the sick healed. The mission field reaped for the harvest. And yet still we do everything but seek the life-giving fire of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In the Anglican Book of Common Worship every morning, I'm sure you probably don't use it, but you may do. But in the Anglican Book of Common Worship every morning is a wonderful prayer. They pray it every day in the morning. And I wish that all Anglicans received the reality of it. This is what they pray. It's a good prayer. We should pray it too. It says this: as we rejoice in the gift of this new day,
So may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. What a great prayer. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that's actually what every single Anglican up and down this country received? The light of his presence, setting their hearts on fire with love for God. What they're talking about, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And I pray that this will become a reality for the Anglican Church. And yet still, even in our lives, we ignore the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We try to have a barbecue with no fire. But not this church. Oh, no. See, I've been spying on you. And I've seen that one of your values, I went to your website, and I've seen that one of your values is that you're going to be a spirit-filled community. Did you know that's one of your values? I do, because I built a church from my wife up. And a church is built on values, okay? So we've built our church up on values. And you're building your church on the value of being a spirit-filled community. I started with my wife in my front room. She led worship. I preached. We didn't take an offering because we felt that would be a bit much. By the next week, we had explosive growth. We doubled in size to 4. Now we have about 75. So you're going to be a spirit-filled community. And I want to say this to you. It's really on my heart for you. I've been praying for you, by the way. Being a spirit-filled community is not an exotic extra. You might think, oh, we're a bit exotic in Belvedere Baptist Church. I used to go to Days Lane. Do you know Days Lane Baptist Church? I left here when I was 4, okay. I think they're strict Baptist. Not sure I'd be invited there, but anyway. Belvedere Baptist Church, spirit-filled community. You know that, don't you, by the way? You're to be a spirit-filled church. It's absolutely a mainstream part of what it means to be a born-again believer, to be spirit-filled. Other people may ignore the Holy Spirit, but Jesus didn't. Not Jesus. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He was all about the Holy Spirit. What happened when Jesus was baptized? Heaven was torn open and the Spirit came like a dove. And what did the Father say? What did heaven say? You remember? This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and the Father just poured out his love on Jesus. And I believe that was the key to his ministry, love. This wonderful feeling of living in the divine approval and favor of heaven. Hallelujah. So Jesus was all about the Holy Spirit. It says, in fact, in verse 2 of what we just read, it says, in my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Even his teaching was the instruction of the Holy Spirit to his disciples. In fact, Jesus was a charismatic, evangelical Pentecostal, wasn't he? He was charismatic, full of the gifts of the Spirit. He was evangelical. You've got to be born again. That's what Jesus said. John 3. If you want to be a believer, you have to be born again. Oh, no. Jesus is one of those born agains. Ah. And he was a Pentecostal, wasn't he? Wait, because Pentecost is coming. If you believe in this chapter in Acts, do you believe in it? Jesus said, wait, I'm going to give you a gift that my Father's promised. It's for you. It's for you and for me. Some of you are looking a bit disappointed. I'm not saying that he wouldn't be a good Baptist, by the way. Did you know Jesus taught his disciples a lot about the Holy Spirit? All the Gospels are about teaching in the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave to his apostles. Apostle means messenger or sent one. Did you know that? It does. Apostelio means to be sent. We use the word envoy. Do you know that word envoy? that we have in the UN, and it comes from the French word envoyer, which means to send. Well, apostoleo in Greek means sent one, means a messenger. Do you know what disciple means? It means a learner or follower. And before you can be a sent one, you need to become a disciple and a learner. And I want to tell you something about becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have to become a disciple first. And in fact, did you know, I want to say this to you, you can become a disciple of Jesus and have the same experience as the apostles. Shall I tell you how? Read the Gospels. Read the Gospels. Get into the book of Mark. Mark was Peter's amanuensis. You can find out all about what happened in the very early church by reading a wonderful account by someone called Eusebius, who lived in the 3rd century, and he tells you what happened after the New Testament, right? And Mark, it said, Eusebius said, Mark was Peter's writer. His amanuensis, it was called. And so he wrote Peter's eyewitness account of the gospel. He used to go around with Peter, and Peter used to preach it, and everybody loved it to hear about Jesus. Then Mark wrote it down. And whole communities used to just read the gospel of Mark. And I'll tell you why they did that. They did it because as you read it, it'll come alive in the Holy Spirit. You can be there in Galilee when Jesus calls Peter, James, and John. And if you just go and read that gospel account, you can be at the shore of Galilee hearing the call of Jesus to follow him. And so on and so on and so on. You're going through all the way. It's that time, you know, in Mark, you know, when Jesus comes out walking on the water. You know that one? They're terrified. Do you read? You go read it yourself. It's a really strange bit. It says, Jesus came out walking to them on the water, and he was about to pass them by. Did you read that bit, or did you miss it? Because you sort of think that he's going out to the boat to get on the boat with this one. What's your name? Sophie. Wisdom. So, it says he's about to pass them by. Why is that? They were terrified, and they called out, Zoo! And then he said, do not be afraid. And actually, he said, I am. And if you go back to Moses' time, Moses was praying. And then Moses said, now, Lord, show me your glory. And God said, nobody can see my glory and live. But what I'll do, I'll hide you in a cleft in the rock. And I will pass you by. And I will show you my glory. And so he did. And as he was passing him by, Moses, he proclaimed, God proclaimed his name. And what is his name? I am. So here's Jesus declaring his glory to his disciples. You can read all about that in Mark. You can become a disciple of Jesus by looking at the Gospels. And who knows? Maybe you will become a sent one and a messenger of Jesus Christ. But Jesus was clear here in Acts. He said, wait in Jerusalem. I want to give you something. And do you know Jesus went away so that you could have the Holy Spirit? Did you know that? He wanted to pour out his presence on you. It says in John chapter 14 or 15, let's just have a look at it. Might want to look it up. Do you have Bibles or do you use your phone these days? John 14 or 15, somewhere. I'm just going to find it. He said, must be 15. Jesus said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what I make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he'll make known to you. Forgive me. Just go up a little bit to 6 and 7. You are filled with grief because I've said these things. He said I was going away. This is his last teaching to his disciples. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus goes up to heaven so he could pour the Holy Spirit out on you, so you could know his presence and you could be with him and be redeemed and restored and renewed entirely in your inner being. I want to say something slightly controversial, but just bear with me. I did study theology, it's okay. The Lord didn't want to make you into another Jesus. He just wanted to pour out Jesus in you so that you could be everything that he created you to be. So that you could be you, but full of love, full of joy, full of peace, full of patience, full of kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He designed you to be born where you were born and live where you live and be alive now in 2017. Isn't that interesting? He made you for such a time as this. I was born in Sidcup in Kent for such a time as this. David is here for such a time as this. He wants to come and completely make you who you're supposed to be. That's good theology. And here in Acts, listen to this. Jesus says, I'm going to give you this gift, my Father's promise. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Why did he say that? John said, you know, you remember that thing that John was doing? Baptizing people. What's your name? Can I use you as an example, Dorothy? Come here, Dorothy. Bless you. You're fortunate here because I'm holding a mic. See, John, if Dorothy was around in John's day, he'd have baptized Dorothy. Right, I'll have to just come and hold this. So, all right, Dorothy, please don't worry. He would have baptized Dorothy and it had gone straight down into the water, completely under the water. He'd have kept Dorothy under for a little bit longer. Because there's a little bit of Dorothy that needs to die in the water for repentance. Sorry, Dorothy. You're right, my love. All of Dorothy is under the water. A little bit longer. Then she'd come up splattering. Sorry, Dorothy. Thank you so much. Into new life. God bless you, Dorothy. Is that okay? You're all right? You're not injured? Sorry. No, you're absolutely fine. So you go and sit down. Sorry, Dorothy. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. So Jesus said, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Can you see the analogy? You're going to be under and completely soaked and filled up full with the Holy Spirit. See, I think Jesus was a little bit more passionate than we make him out to be. He used to shout at the demons, tell them to go. Hallelujah. A few days, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. What would that be like, Dorothy? Be intense, wouldn't it? Full up. Was that okay? All right, bless you. Thank you. Now listen to this. Then they gathered around Jesus and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus, will this be the time when you pour out the Holy Spirit? Will this be the time when everything is made right again? When all of our hopes and dreams are fulfilled, you're going to restore this wonderful sense of us being the chosen people. Is everything going to be right then? They were asking, in theological terms, is this the time of a fully realized eschatology? All right? In other words, is everything going to be made right? Listen to what Jesus said. He said to him, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father set by his own authority. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on. He said, don't worry about that. Only the Father knows when everything is going to be restored. But when I pour out the Holy Spirit upon you, you're going to be my witnesses and you're going to proclaim my kingdom. So that means that, as we know, the kingdom isn't fully realized, is it? Jesus hasn't come back in all his glory yet and put everything right. But there's something special that happens when the Holy Spirit comes. We begin to see again the first fruits of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So, only the Father knows that day. But you be my witnesses. Oh my goodness, look at the time. I can't believe it. Tell people what I've been doing in your lives, he says. Jesus says, tell people what I've been doing in your lives. What's been happening today, what he's doing now. Tell the world. So Jesus says, wait, there's something I want to give you. When I was finishing off my preparation for this, I happened to be in my daughter's room. That was the place where there's peace. I've got four children now, right? 7, 5, 3, and 16 weeks. And so I found some peace in Hannah's room, and I'm reading a wonderful book, and I'm just thinking about coming to preach to you. And Beatrice comes into the room. She's my three-year-old. She begins to shout at the top of her voice. She's talking to somebody outside the house. We just moved into a lovely big house. Praise the Lord. He's really blessed us. She's shouting. She's calling out to the others, and I'm trying to read my book and be spiritual and prepare. She says, there's something that I want in Hannah's room, she's saying. There's something I want in Hannah's room. And it's as if nobody can hear her. She's, there's something I want in Hannah's room. She's shouting like this over and over again. I'm thinking, oh. And then all of a sudden, I just felt the Spirit of God speak to me. There's something I want in Hannah's room. Do you know what the name Hannah means? We named our daughter Hannah because Hannah means grace and favor. We named her Hannah because we wanted to bless her with the favor of God. So every time we say Hannah, we're saying, Hannah, the favor and blessing of God is released upon you. In fact, her second name is Hannah Grace because she's doubly favored, right? Hannah Grace. Now listen, there's something I want in Hannah's room. There's something I want in the room of grace and favor. And I want to say to you today, is there something that you want in the room of grace and favor, God's room of grace and favor? Yes, I think there is. It's the fullness of the Holy Spirit, my friends. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not an optional extra. My children end up prophesying without realizing. Shall I tell you a couple of other examples? I'm way going to have no time. Sorry. Unless you give me more time, then I'll bless you more. Good Friday, right? I used to lead the Christian March, Easter March Witness in our town, and we'd march through the town, we'd do a gospel preach, all go home. But Good Friday is a really holy day for me. At 9 o'clock on Good Friday, Jesus is put on the cross, the third hour. At the sixth hour, it goes dark. That was prophesied in the Old Testament. The whole area went down. I mean, what a dark day. Noon, dark. At 3 o'clock, Jesus dies. Ninth hour, Jesus dies. So I'm sitting there one Good Friday, and I'm just getting more and more depressed because nothing's going on. I'm trying to remember Jesus dying. My children are there playing with their toys on the floor. I'm flicking through the TV channels trying to find anything religious on Good Friday. Even Ben-Hur would have done, but, you know, nothing. It's got a little bit Jesus in it, Ben-Hur. I'm getting up to 3 o'clock, and I'm looking at my watch, feeling more and more depressed. I tell you, my friends, at the dot, the seconds came round at 3 o'clock on the dot, Hannah, she picks up the Lego that she's been making and she says these words. She says, look, Daddy, look, I've made a way so that everyone can come in. Look, Daddy, look, I've made a way so that everyone can come in. And I heard the words of Jesus on the cross. Look, Daddy, look. I've made a way so that everyone can come in. Hallelujah. She's, you know, because we want in our houses, in our homes, we want an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, don't we? My son, Zachary, got ill with meningitis. Seriously ill with meningitis. He's been affected neurologically, and we're praying for his healing. 2.5 weeks, he was rushed to hospital. I'll never forget being in the ambulance with the blue lights flashing. And people around the world began to pray for him. I mean, around the world began to pray for my son. Wow. And children would say to their family members, "We got to pray for Zachary." And they'd get their family members, they'd hold hands and pray. Hallelujah. For Zachary. And then after we got him out of hospital, I gave him a bath and I laid him gently on the bed and I'm drying him and the heater's on and just drying him. And little Beatrice stands up, gets up on the bed, puts herself between two pillows and she says, "Look, Daddy." She says, "I'm standing in the gap." I said, "I beg your pardon." She says, "I'm standing in the gap." And I said, "What are you doing in the gap?" She says, "There's things I need to do in the gap." She also said, "There's naughties in the gap." That's interesting, isn't it? Because we know our scriptures, don't we? I look for one who'll stand in the gap and pray. I was preparing a talk on Revelation 3. You know, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, you're lukewarm. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth." And Hannah comes up. She says, "Daddy," she said, "I had a king on my hand." She said, "But I've washed it off. Never mind, I'll just get another king." That was when I was preparing a talk on Revelation 3, verse 20. Lord, bless that person who's beeping their horn in the car. Hallelujah. Jesus goes up to heaven, back in Acts, okay? I'm so going to run out of time. And the angels say, "This same Jesus is coming again." Not a different Jesus. The Jesus who has holes in his hands and feet is going to come back one day in glory. But until that time, he's going to pour out his Holy Spirit on his people. So they join together in constant prayer, preparing themselves and getting ready. I'm going to miss this little bit out here. Yeah, that's okay to do that. The fire fell and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let me give you my testimony, just because I'm running out of time now. So I want to just share my testimony. I gave my life to the Lord at the age of 17. As David said, it was an absolute transformation from being a really quiet, reserved, very broken person. I was in church. I stood up responding to a call from a preacher at the age of 17. I knew that if I gave my life to the Lord and allowed the Lord into my heart, that everything would change at that time. And that the Lord would have to come into my sin-sick soul and into the brokenness of my heart and all the anger and the pain and the hurt and bring that healing. So I stood up to respond, and the Spirit of God just came on me. And I wept for 2.5 hours without stopping, right? In fact, I didn't stop for the next 10 years, really. Whenever the Spirit of God came, I'd be weeping, because I was quite a broken person, really. Anytime the Spirit of God was anywhere, I would weep. Other people think it was wonderful, I'd be weeping. Some of the young people used to laugh at me, because I'd be in church on, so I'd be weeping. Because the Spirit of God was doing something. That first day, I went up to the toilets, and I sat in the toilet for about 40 minutes, just crying. The Spirit of God came upon me. And I said to the Lord, "There's two things that I really don't want to have to do." I made a bargain with God. Two things that the Lord would have to sort out. Number one, it was sin. You see, I had no problem with sin. Sin came very easily to me. I had no problem with sin at all. Sin's easy. And so the Lord would have to sort out the problem of sin, right? That was number one. The second thing. And I said this to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I do not want to have to witness about Jesus to anybody. I can't think of anything worse than having to witness, tell people about Jesus." So I made a bargain with the Lord that he could have me if I didn't have to witness. And the Lord sought out the problem of sin. And of course, I knew enough from being in Wharton Baptist Church, an amazing move of God, about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'd heard people praying in tongues, and I thought, that's wonderful. Being so moved by the Holy Spirit within you, you begin to pray out in a different language, wonderful. So I thought, I'm going to get that. I want that gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So 2 days, first thing I did is I bought a Bible. It's like a pocket Bible. I've got one here. No, I left it in the car. Just like this. And I devoured this Bible. It came alive to me like it was in full colour. I used to read it walking along, getting the bus to school. I used to read it all day long at school in the sixth form where I was. It's a boys' school. I was just reading this. I was on catch-up. It was everything was completely alive. I remember going to that first Tuesday prayer meeting. It was at Stuart and David's house. There's about 35 people there going to a prayer meeting. Young people, right? It was really odd, wasn't it? It was amazing. And I was so there's this verse of scripture that I found, and someone was saying, there's a Bible verse in it. And they were so excited. And then I said to Stuart, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Will you pray for me? And so they took me upstairs, and they prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I sort of fell over a bit. I spoke a few words out, and then I stood up. And I felt it was a real anticlimax. I thought, is that it? And they said, yeah, that's it. They said, you've got the gift of tongues. So I thought, okay, well, if that's the gift of tongues, I've got the gift of tongues. And my friends, I prayed in tongues morning, noon, and night for years. I'm telling you, I prayed in tongues all the time because I wanted to walk with the Holy Spirit. My prayer every single morning, Lord Jesus, good morning. Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah. I prayed in tongues. That first evening when I prayed in tongues, I was praying in tongues the whole time. I went home. For the first time in years, my father had a conversation with me. He was cleaning the bath. I don't know why. He was cleaning the bath. And I went in to the bath. And there I was praying in tongues. And my father began to speak to me for the first time in years. He'd ignored me all these years, basically. He began to speak to me. Strange things used to happen. On my bicycle, I'd be cycling along, and sometimes people would wind the window down and start to shout obscenities at me. And you! People used to stop. And I'm just cycling along praying. It was a clash of kingdoms, really. But the Lord began to lead me. I began to be led of the Holy Spirit. And a few weeks later, the preacher did another altar call, and I was at the front by this stage. I used to be at the back. I was at the front. And I was in the Holy Spirit praying, and nothing was happening, and the preacher was doing an altar call, and I got frustrated in the spirit, as it were. And I turned around, I didn't say it out loud, but I said, Lord, that person in yellow and that person over there, they both need to come out. and I kept on praying. So I could see the spirit of God. And blow me down with a feather, both of them came out to the front, because the spirit of God was upon them. So I made a deal with the Lord. I said, Lord, I won't witness, because I don't like the idea of witnessing, but what I will do is I'll pray for people. I'll pray in the Holy Spirit. I used to pray for people. Then I started playing games with God. I used to say, Lord, the next person who looks at me, I'll pray for them. So I'd be going along waiting to see if somebody looked at me. And then if somebody looked at me, oh, Lord, I pray for this person, Dorothy. I pray you'll bless her life and all that, and I'd pray. And then strange things started happening. I'd be walking along, and suddenly people would stop and say, oh, excuse me, like this. And I'd turn around and say, oh, and I'd say yes. And they'd say, oh, nothing, and then walk off. So I thought, oh, perhaps I need to pray for them. So I did. Children would come up, hello, and pray for me. I was sharing this with somebody at Spring Harvest, this lady who's into prayer. This is at Spring Harvest. It's happened. It's really odd. I'm talking. I said, oh, yeah, in the early days, I used to pray for blah, blah, blah. And she didn't blow me down. Somebody stopped with their tray. They turned and said, hello. I said, hello. I said, do I know you? No, I just felt I just needed to say hello. I said, bless you. And I prayed for her. Then there was a time I was on the bus. I used to get the bus. And I said to the Lord, the person who sits next to me, I will pray for them the whole of the journey. The whole of the journey. I would pray for them. It was packed. It was raining. All these people were getting on the bus, double-decker bus, all walking up the stairs, everyone turning, walking up the stairs, filling up, standing. I was downstairs next to the door, standing, and nobody was sitting on my chair. Lord, the person who said... Then the bus stopped at a bus stop it doesn't usually stop at, and a girl gets on, young girl, pretty. She sits down. Ah, this is the one. Father, let your Holy Spirit come upon this girl. Bless her life and her family. And she began to minister in the Spirit. She had no idea. She didn't know. I wasn't going, ugh. And I just looked around and tears were streaming down her face. The Spirit of God had come upon her. I was bouncing. Hey, really spiritual. This was the early days, right? I was wonderful. Bouncing along. I bounced into school that day. I didn't really like my school. Very old school, boys' school. Posh. And I sat at the side and all the boys were there waiting for registration. I said, Lord, who should I pray for next? Really on a roll here. I never spoke to that guy. I should have done, shouldn't I? there's a guy. Not you. Yeah, but bless you. And there's him. And I began to pray for him. And you know, the oddest thing happened. As I was praying for him in the Spirit, he started doing this. And his head got lower and lower and lower, and to the point where his forehead ended up on the desk in front of me. I thought, that's really odd. He's ill. I shall go over and find out what's wrong with him. So I went over to him. I said, excuse me. He said, you all right? He said, no, I'm not. I said, what's wrong? He said, I took an overdose last night and tried to kill myself. And yet, before I knew it, I said, well, that's funny. I said, because I'm a Christian. And I just asked God who I should pray for, and he told me to pray for you. And I said, I think God must really love you. And he looked really shocked and surprised. And then I thought, oh, hold on. I think I've just witnessed. So I said, praise the Lord. But I was beginning to walk in the Spirit, you see. Then 2 weeks later, I'm doing a solo. We did like 3 lots of school concerts Saturday evening, right? I did my solo, then I went home. So I'm walking through the empty corridors, and there was a light on in the classroom. And I'm walking along. It's about 8 or 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, and I'm walking along the classroom, empty school. And it's this guy. He's in there, drawing on the board, and he says these words to me. He says, "Alan," it's surnames in that school. "Alan, hey Alan," he said, come in here and witness to me." He said, "Come in here and witness to me." So I went in and I told him about Jesus. And then I came out, and so it began. I started meeting people. You used to live in, what's the road in? Mayfield Road. It was a, so do you remember that guy that turned up? Do you remember? Yes, let me tell the story. Will you give me another 10 minutes? Can I have another 10 minutes? I'm using prayer time. Oh, 5 minutes, I tell this story. Oh, I've got 2 good stories. I'll do it quick. Do I have time to, should I tell that story? This guy, right? I felt that I was going to a prayer meeting at Sam's house because she was really spiritual. We didn't know what to do on a Saturday evening. We decided to pray. Can you believe that? With a couple of people, right? So I had a little prayer meeting. So I'm on my bike. I felt the Lord tell me to get off. So I got off, really got right with the Lord, right? Really got into a good place with the Lord. Then I pull up outside Mayfield Road. I just remember this amazing story. This guy pulls up beside me. And he winds down his window and says, hey, mate, he says, do you know the way to Mayfield Road? He says, I'm looking for the church. I said, oh. I said, oh, you're a Christian. I said, I'm a Christian too. He said, oh, no. He said, not another Christian. He said, don't tell me about being a Christian. Don't tell me about Jesus. Don't tell me about being a Christian. He says, I'm an alcoholic. I'm looking for the AA meeting in Mayfield Road in Weybridge. We're in Mayfield Road in Walton. I said, okay. I'll tell you what, I'm going into this house. It was Sam's house, her parents' house. They'll have a map. Why don't you just come in and, well... So I turn up with this alcoholic, John, right? Turns out he's out, just got out of prison. He stole the car. His probation worker was a Christian. Every person he met was a Christian. And he was going to this AA meeting. And we spoke about the Lord, and we led him to Christ, didn't we? And he became a Christian. It's a true story, isn't it? And these are the sorts of things that used to happen because when you're led of the Holy Spirit, you see? When you're led of the Holy Spirit. And I've got One more story, because I did. Is that okay? One more story, and then I just have to pray for you. Why don't you gate crash the leaders' meeting? David will say no, just turn up anyway. Do you know there's people that actually tore a roof off a house, right? Okay. I'll just tell you one more story. Within 2 years, I ended up working with an evangelist. I was out preaching all around the world in front of tens of thousands of people. That's God's sense of humor, right? Do you remember my prayer? I don't want to witness. I ended up preaching in front of thousands of people. I was in Pakistan preaching. And I ended up preaching in different churches. And there's one, I just want to tell you this story because we did have this conversation. This is a really important one to finish on, if that's okay. And God just began to heal people while I was praying. Hallelujah. And I prayed for this young guy. He was about 13 or so, and he had some kind of asthmatic condition, I think it was. And he came up for prayer, and I prayed with an interpreter, ministered in the Holy Spirit to him. And then he went back and sat down looking really disappointed, because that's the same language all around the world, you could tell. He wasn't healed, let's just be honest. And he sat down looking really disappointed. But I'd preached. This is an important point, this sort of conversation that we've been having. And I had said this. I said, you know what? I can't heal a gnat with knee ache or a fly with a headache. I can't do that at all. I'm not a healer. But Jesus is a healer. And Jesus can heal you if you just trust in him. And you know what? Jesus can heal you straight away while you're praying and being ministered to. Or he might heal you in half an hour. Or an hour's time, or maybe tomorrow, or the next day, and so on and so forth, or maybe the next week. But just trust in Jesus for your healing. So that's what I'd preach. Anyway, we finished the prayer meeting. And this was in the early 90s, and it was dangerous then. We got into the car, locked the car, and all of a sudden the door bursts open of this sort of underground church in Pakistan. This guy runs out and he starts banging on the window. Now, we're really uptight because, I mean, there were people who were out to get us. And banging on the window. And the guy's talking away in Urdu, I think it was. And the guy was translating, well, that's really, you know, whatever, had a conversation. What was it? What happened? What was happening? And apparently, the chap got healed. He was so excited. He came running out to tell us that Jesus had healed him. And I thought, what a great story, because it's not about me. It's not about how wonderful I am in praying for people, but it's about how wonderful Jesus is. Because if we just trust in him and believe in him, he'll bring us healing. So I want to say this to you. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I have come to set you on fire. Spiritually speaking, not literally. Because you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so you can walk in him. I've got so many stories, you're going to miss all of them unless you sneak in to the huddle. And I want to be able to pray for you. So if you'd like some prayer, I'd love to be able to pray with you. This is what I'd say. This is what I used to say to people when I was praying for healing. I'd say, just let God be God and let the Holy Spirit do his thing. And you know what? It takes all the pressure away. Because when you pray, you say, okay, Holy Spirit, come and bless this person and minister them. And the Lord began to touch people deeply. And I want to be able to pray a blessing for you. So if you'd like a bit of ministry, if you'd like to pray for the gift of tongues or pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit or pray for whatever it is that you want, I'd love to be able to pray for you. And I've got all the time in the world for you. So is the Lord. So is the Lord. He loves you. I'm going to finish there. Is that okay? Can I just pray? Can I pray? Or is that okay? Yeah? Let me just pray. Have we got time for a song or not? No, that's fine. I've got a song. I'm going to play you a song in a minute, but I'm just going to pray first. Is that okay? That's a deal. And then you can do what you want to do. Go and have a coffee. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I so enjoyed myself being here. Thank you. Thank you for these precious people, Lord. Thank you. Father, thank you that their hands are open to you right now to receive from you. Lord, fill those hands in Jesus' name. Fill those hearts Receive the Holy Spirit now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, we wait on you. We receive from you. Lord, we say, yes, you do love us. Yes, you do love me. I want to say something to you today, to somebody here in particular. Yes, the Lord does love you. He does love you dearly. For some, when I said that to you, it's like it was hope. For me, if you had that reaction, who, me? Yes, you. I want to say that to you. Yes, you, the Lord loves you. When the Holy Spirit comes, he pours out his love into your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Father, pour your love into these people's lives. Bless them in Jesus' name. Let your anointing rest upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I bless you with it?